Good afternoon, everyone. We'll just wait for another couple of minutes just to make sure that the attendees join. I still see the numbers rising, so just let's wait for a couple more minutes. All right, I think the numbers seem to be stabilizing now, so we can get started. So welcome everyone. This is the program webinar for Cyber Infrastructure for Sustained Scientific Innovation, CSSI. We are talking about the upcoming program deadline of December 2nd. The solicitation is NSF 22-632. So thanks for joining us. My name is Varun Chandola. I'm a program officer in the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure within SAIS at NSF. And I, along with my colleagues, are here to talk to you about CSSI and answer your questions. I'm happy to say that I'm joined by several of my OAC colleagues who will be sort of co-presenting, or at least when my colleague will be co-presenting with me the set of slides that we have put together, and others are here to answer any questions that you might have. So with that, let's get started. I should note that you can feel free to put in any questions that you might have about the program or anything as you prepare your presentation or your proposals for the solicitation. In using the Q&A feature of Zoom, and we'll be monitoring that, and we might answer some of your questions as the presentation goes, but we might leave some of the questions that might be relevant to the general audience for the last part of this presentation. So the outline of this webinar is that myself and my colleague Wenwen will give you a description of the program and provide you with an overview of the solicitation itself, and then we'll take maybe 30 to 35 minutes for that, and then leave an hour of time for questions that you might have. As you know, Edgar noted in the chat, this is you know, you are in a listen only mode, but you can submit your questions anytime using the Q&A feature. We are talking about the one particular solicitation, which is 22-632. The next or the upcoming deadline is December 2nd. So on this slide, you see on the right-hand side, the QR code and the link for that solicitation, if you have not already seen that. So what is the CSSI program? So this is a unique program in some sense at NSF. This is not like some of the other core research programs that you might be more familiar with. This is a program that is led by OAC, but we work with almost all other divisions, 16 other divisions across NSF, across the seven directorates at NSF. So this is an NSF-wide opportunity, and we fund development and deployment of software and data cyber infrastructure. And I'm going to refer to this as CI from here on. But the focus of this program is to invest in development of different types of CI, which supports scientific innovation and discovery across different scientific disciplines. Right. So as I said, this is a cross-directed opportunity. And because every division and the scientific community that they support have needs for robust data and software CI. And that is why this program is there. It's been there for several years now. It is one of the reasons we have it as a more NSF-wide activity is that while it supports these different disciplines, but at the same time, we understand that there are a lot of common aspects of CI, and having a joint program sort of allows PIs to benefit from each other. And at the same time, through OAC, we make sure that the development follows accepted data management and software development practices. So before you start thinking of a CSSI proposal, there are certain things that we ask you to sort of ask yourself, and then also highlight it in the proposals as well. So the first thing you need to answer is the basic research leading to the development of the CI already done? So as I said, this is an infrastructure program, which means that we do not fund any research that is needed before the development of that infrastructure can start, right? For those, we have other programs. Here, we expect that the primary focus is on building the cyber infrastructure and then providing it to the community for them to use. The other important aspect is, who are you building this for, right? If you look at the solicitation, this is highlighted in many places, that this is to support one or more clearly identified research communities. So in your proposal, you need to identify that. This is not something that you're building for your own research group. This is not something that you're building for a local institution or a region. This is for a broad research community that falls within the purview of NSF. And the third important thing is there a demonstrated need in that community? This is something that we emphasize again at the solicitation as well as in all of our communications. What we do not encourage are the types of proposals that are more of the form of we'll build it and they will come. In your proposal, you need to provide a clear need of why this is an important thing for the community that you're targeting in this proposal, right? And there are different ways to show the or demonstrate the need, but it has to be there and clearly outlined in the proposal. So the kind of aspects that we look for in a competitive CSSI proposal are listed here. These are also present in the solicitation, and these also sort of map to the solicitation specific criteria that I'll talk about later. But the things that we look for are, it has to be science driven. As I said, you have to clearly identify the community that this will benefit. You have to clearly identify the types of scientific questions and advances that this will enable, right? It has to be innovative, which means that this is something that is absent from the cyber infrastructure ecosystem right now. And so that's the kind of innovation that we're looking for. It has to be collaborative. Clearly, many of these proposals will sort of, entail working closely with the scientific community that this is being built for. So we want to see clear plans of how you will collaborate with them. How will this activity foster partnerships and community development? It should be leveraged, which means that it should build on existing investments that have been made from NSF and other funding agencies. Obviously, we do not want you to build everything from scratch. So anything that builds on top of existing investments is a strength. But I should also note that you have to make a clear distinction between what is already there and what is a new part that you're building. Has to be strategic. You have to have strategic plans for how you will measure the progress of the infrastructure development. How will you share the results? How will you track the adoption and the community engagement? And finally, it has to be sustained. As you might have noted, sustainability is part of the name of the program. And the reason for that is that we want to make sure that the CI is developed with clear plans of how this will be sustained beyond the years of funding. Clearly, we want these efforts to have long-term impact on the scientific community. The CSSI investment will be for limited time, but we want to make sure that you have plans of how you will ensure that this gets sustained. The way these proposals are reviewed is a standard NSF merit review process, right? So we typically have panels that we set up to look at these proposals, and the reviewers will assess every proposal based on three different review criteria. Usually, the panels are a mix of cyber infrastructure development experts as well as experts from the community that this is intended to serve. So they often focus on the scientific impact and the innovation on in that community, whereas the CI expert would look at the plans and how you plan to engage the community and so on, right? In terms of the review criteria, the first two, intellectual merit and broader impacts, they are part of the standard NSF review criteria. So if you have submitted an NSF proposal before, I'm sure you're aware of these, but I will definitely talk a little bit more about that. The thing that I want to focus more on are CSSI specific review criteria. So we expect that in your proposal, you have clear sections for each one of these and subsections for the sub criteria that I'll talk later, so that it's easy for the reviewers and us to look at how the proposal is responsive to each of these. In terms of intellectual merit, we expect that you are outlining what is the importance of this activity to advance knowledge and understanding in one or more scientific areas, as well as across the general scientific enterprise. This should be creative and original, and that is where the innovative aspect comes. And I'll talk more about it in the next slide. The activity should be well thought out, well reasoned, organized, and based on sound rationale. There should be clear mechanisms to assess success. The PI team should be qualified to conduct the or to develop this CI, and you should have access to the right resources that you need for to do this. On the innovation side, I should clarify that if you remember in the beginning, I said we do not fund any research, which means that we are not expecting any research innovation here, right? As part of the proposed work, what we are expecting is that this infrastructure will enable research innovation in the identified areas, right? So what you want to clarify or emphasize is what are the new capabilities that this CI will bring in for its target community. In terms of the CI development, we expect that you are using the best practices and software development and data infrastructure development, but you can also include plans to integrate innovative methodologies for CI development as well as community engagement and other aspects of the proposal. We also encourage you to identify or include plans to tackle disruptive changes in the underlying needs of the community, adaptability to new technologies, and adaptability to changing requirements, and looking at new concerns such as privacy, trust, reproducibility, support for machine learning, artificial intelligence, looking at energy efficiency, and so on. So these are all things that you could look at as well when you are focusing on the innovative aspect. Broader impacts is an equally important aspect of any CSSI proposal. We want to make sure that you have plans. And when we say plans, we want to see well-formulated substantive activities for each one of them. We want to see how this will impact the scientific community and how will it impact the society in general. We will also want to see how you will engage with the community for broad dissemination of these tools and the outcomes, and how will you integrate the outcomes of this research into teaching, training, and learning with a focus on broadening participation of underrepresented groups in computing and of creating a diverse workforce. Now we come to the CSSI specific review criteria. We have organized these into three buckets. One is on the motivation and impact. One is on the plans for the development of cyber infrastructure, and one is on the measurable outcomes. And within that, in all, we have eight different review criteria. And I strongly encourage you to dedicate separate subsections or paragraphs for each one of them, so it is easy to see how your proposal is responsive to these, right? So as I said earlier, we look for the science-driven aspect. You should clearly tell us what science, new science will it enable and how will it enable it, right? So oftentimes that connection is not very well articulated and becomes challenging for us and the reviewers to see how it will actually enable the science that you promise that it will enable. I already talked about the innovation. And again, to emphasize, the innovation should be in some ways that something like this is not available to the community right now. The plans should be clearly laid out. What kind of project development plans you have? How are you building on existing capabilities? How are you fostering collaborations among stakeholders? We also look for clear plans of what would be delivered. How will you measure the adoption of this in the community? And what are your plans for sustainability? So those all come within the measurable outcomes. So in terms of the size of awards, the CSSI program lets you request for three different classes of awards. So one, the smallest one is Elements. So these are our small awards that can go up to 600K total and for up to 3 years. And this is where we look for small groups that are coming together to create robust CI components for addressing demonstrated need in one or more areas of science and engineering. Our larger awards are what we call framework implementations, where we expect large interdisciplinary teams that are organized around the development of a large or a robust cyber infrastructure that again targets one or more areas of science and engineering. One of the key differences between this and Elements is that here we also expect clear plans of building and sustaining the community that sort of benefits from this. In the Elements proposals, we expect that you're building something and you're making it available to the community. Here, we want to see more detailed plans of how that community will be engaged. How will you train them? You know, oftentimes there are workshops or tutorials that will be developed so that the community really knows how to use this and sort of you know, also works towards contributing to this, which helps in the sustainability aspect as well. So these are larger awards. You can request up to 5 million for up to 5 years. The third track, relatively new, it's called Transition to Sustainability. Now, this is where we expect that you start with an established cyber infrastructure and propose to execute a well-defined sustainability plan so that this cyber infrastructure could be made sustainable after those 2 years. So this gives you one chance to take something that's already being used by the community and then set up mechanisms so that then it can go forward and be sustained by the community or through other plans, right? And I'll expand more on this. Here you can request up to $1 million for up to 2 years. The goal here is not, now I'm talking about the transition to sustainability class. The goal here is not to support the daily operations of a project. Instead, this is focused on, or what we look for are, or is a well-defined sustainability plan so that, and what you need to convince us and the reviewers is that after this plan is set in place, this will ensure sustainability of that CI over the long term. And this could be done in many ways. We do not necessarily mandate one or two ways to do that. You could think about diversifying funding resources. You can think about creating an open source consortium, create other avenues of support, right? So all of these are allowed and others as well. So we look forward to your ideas there. What we look for in a competitive proposal is that it's focused on a well-developed existing CI with an established user community. And you should also show that it has had an impact on one or more areas of science and engineering. And then we look for a well-defined long-term sustainability plan with clear metrics of success. As I said, there are different ways you can sort of work on this particular aspect. So this could include activities such as engaging with community more, developing training, material, documentation, technical support, improving the code quality, such scalability, accessibility, and any other activity that you think would achieve the long-term sustainability. I should also note that, as I said, this should be focused on an existing CI, but it doesn't have to be funded out of CSSI. So this could be something that was developed as part of a different effort, but here the focus is on the sustainability. So as I said earlier, this is a cross-directorate opportunity. Here I have listed the 17 different divisions across seven directorates that are part of this solicitation. And essentially what this means is that what you propose should be aligned with the priorities of one or more of these divisions. And we expect that you clearly identify how you are aligned with the target divisions and how are you aligned with the divisional priorities. So if you look at the solicitation under the programmatic areas of interest, every division has provided their divisional priorities. So we strongly encourage you to look at that. And then we also strongly encourage you to contact us and contact the Cognizant program officers from the divisions that that your idea is aligned with, to make sure that what you're proposing is indeed aligned with those divisions. So that this is so you can send us an email with a white paper and maybe also help us identify the right area, and then we'll be happy to connect you with the right program officers for their feedback. This year we are also highlighting areas of interest that includes development of data or data science related cyber infrastructure that enables research in different areas of science and engineering, including AI powered research and other areas that rely on robust data CI. So with this, I will hand it over to my colleague Wenwen, who will take you through the different required documents and aspects of the proposal. So Wenwen, whenever you're ready.
Yes, thank you, Varun. Everyone, I'm Wenwen Tong, and as a PD, Varun's colleague in the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. So in terms of the eligibility criteria for the CSSI program, they are as follows. So proposals may only be submitted by universities and colleges, nonprofit, non-academic organizations, and NSF-sponsored federally funded research and development centers, FFRDCs, provided that they are not including costs for which federal funds have already been awarded or are expected to be awarded. And the number of proposals per principal investigator, co-principal investigator, or senior personnel is limited to one. Individual may participate in a proposal as a principal investigator, co-PI, or other senior personnel in at most one proposal for a given deadline. In the event that any individual exceeds this limit, any proposal submitted to this solicitation with this individual listed as PI, co-PI, or senior personnel after the first proposal is received at NSF will be returned without review. So start early, plan carefully, no exceptions will be made. Next slide, please. So innovating and migrating proposal preparation and submission capabilities from FastLink to research.gov is part of the ongoing NSF information technology modernization efforts. In support of these efforts, research proposals submitted in response to this program solicitation must be prepared and submitted via research.gov or by grants.gov and may not be prepared or submitted by FastLink. The NSF proposal and award process is detailed in the PUBG 24-1, and we have the link provided here. Next slide, please. So we provide more detail here with regard to the components in preparing the proposal. With respect to the cover sheet, for the NSF unit consideration, the division section should automatically be selected. On the drop-down list, as the programs to consider the proposal, select software institutes as the program. It must be the only option. For the proposal title, provide a short information title for the proposed project. To assist NSF staff in sorting proposals for review, proposal titles should be beginning with elements, frameworks, or sustainability, followed by the proposal title. And we have examples listed here, noted the columns separating the elements, framework, or sustainability with your proposal title. Next slide, please. In addition to the guidance specified in the PUBG, the project description should address project motivation and impact, whether it's science-driven, possibly innovation. Several infrastructure plans, including project plans and system and process. Architecture, building on existing recognized capabilities, close collaboration among stakeholders. And measurable outcomes, including deliverables, sustained and sustainable impacts, and metrics. The project must explicitly discuss to which directorates, divisions, or offices the proposal is aligned. If PI and co-PIs have received prior CSSI funding, including through programs that preceded CSSI, the proposal should briefly discuss what software, data services resulted from their prior support, as well as significant outcomes and impacts. This can be done as part of the results from prior NSF support section, if appropriate. Next slide, please. So here we talk about supplementary documents to be included in the proposal. These documents are specific to CSSI and in addition to the ones already required for all proposals submitted to NSF. The proposal may include the following documents. First, delivery mechanism and community usage metrics. All proposals must submit this in 2-page limit. Project personnel and partner institutions. Management and coordination plan in 3-page limit. And this is for framework proposal only. And mentoring plan if supporting postdoc or graduate students. And CI professional mentoring and or development plan. And if requesting funding to support, this is required. A CI professional support mentoring and development plan will be included and within 2-page limit. And if appropriate, high throughput computing resources, that is if you request HDC resources through partnership to advance throughput computing path, this is for 2-page limit. And cloud computing resources, if requesting cloud resources through cloud bank, it's in 2-page. And lastly, letters of collaboration, if any. Next page, please. So this slide explains the community usage metrics. Success of the project must be articulated through sound mechanisms that assess the development and delivery of the services and capabilities to be delivered by the project, as well as the community adoption usage or other type of engagement. These assessments must be based on first quantifiable metrics to measure the community adoption usage or other type of engagement. Please include these metrics in terms of the targets or milestones for each year of the award. Then the metrics should also be appropriate for the program specific areas targeted by the project, as well as the proposed type of cyber infrastructure to be developed. Last, the viability of the mechanisms employed for collecting the metrics should be described. Next slide, please. This slide talks about the CI professional mentoring and or development plan. So CI professionals are the professional staff who develop, deploy, manage, and support effective use of the CI For example, research software engineers, programmers, IT professionals, data scientists, system administrators, CI facilitators, etc. The document must describe the mentoring and/or professional development activities that will be provided for such individuals. In no more than 2 pages, the planned activities must be described that are targeted specially for CI professionals supported by the project, regardless of whether they reside at the submitting organization, any subrecipient organization, or any organization participating in a simultaneously submitted collaborative proposal. Proposers are advised that CI professional mentoring or professional development must not be used to circumvent the 15-page project description limitation. The mentoring and professional development activities provided to CI professional supported on the project will be evaluated under the broader impacts review criteria. Examples of mentoring and professional development activities include, but not limited to, training in preparation of grant proposals, publications, and presentations, guidance on finding opportunities for professional training and career advancement, guidance on effectively collaborating with researchers across multiple science engineering disciplines, providing information on and training in responsible professional practices. Next slide, please. If requesting the high throughput computing resources, include a description of the requests not to exceed 2-page limit as a supplementary document that includes the anticipated total HTC resources required with yearly breakdown. A technical description and justification of the request, including the expected number of self-contained tasks per ensemble, the resource requirements for each task type in the ensemble, the expected number of ensembles, the expected input and output data requirements for each task type, and the expected number and size of shared input files within an ensemble. And proposals should include the HTC access in one word without space as a keyword on the project summary page at the end of the overview section before the section on intellectual merits. Next slide, please. For proposals that see cloud bank or cloud resources through cloud bank only, a description of the request with a 2-page limit is required. The description must include the anticipated total cost of computing resources with yearly breakdown, which public cloud providers will be used, and a technical description and justification of the request, along with how the cost was estimated. And again, proposals should include cloud access when we're without a space as a keyword on the project summary page at the end of overview section before intellectual merits. Next slide, please. So here's more on the budgeting the cloud computing resources. The NSF budget should not include any such costs for accessing public cloud computing resources like cloud bank. The total cost of the project, including these cloud computing resource requests from cloud bank, may not exceed the budget limit described in this solicitation. For example, consider a proposal submitted to the element class, which has a total proposal budget limit of 600K. If a PI wishes to request 20K in cloud computing resources through cloud bank, then their proposal should request as part of the proposal budget, no more than 580K. The remaining 20K for cloud computing resources should be specified in a supplementary document. And if a proposal is a collaborative project with two PIs from two different organizations, then each PI may request cloud computing resources separately through independent supplementary document, as long as the total budget on the budget justification page plus the supplementary documents does not exceed 600K together. Next slide, please. So this slide shows a wide range of NSF-funded resources available for CSSI community, ranging from advanced computing, CI services, and community and workforce development networks that the PIs can include in their proposal. Next page, please. This slide expresses NSF's interest in receiving proposals led by PIs from EPSCoR jurisdiction, and that includes CSSI program. Next slide, please. And this slide provides the information for getting access to the cyber infrastructure ecosystem supported by NSF. And for each resource, please start with their landing page. So that includes Access, Frontera, Cloud Lab, Camellia, and NAIR pilot allocations. Next slide, please. Some final notes. So all proposals to this solicitation have the same deadline. It's December 2nd, 2024. This is a change from the solicitation because the December 1st deadline on the solicitation carrying from previous year falls on a Sunday. So the deadline is December 2nd, which is a Monday. After this webinar, we will send out a survey to recruit CSSI review panelists. And the QR code is shown here. Please help widely announce to your research network and communities of this recruiting, this solicitation. And we expect to the review process to take place in early 2024 and anticipate making announcements of awards in the spring of 2024. Next slide, please. As a reminder, we invite your questions via the Q&A features immediately to follow after the webinar. And once this webinar completes, you can continue sending questions by the email shown here, cssiqueries@nsf.gov. And also, we would like to raise your awareness that multi-factor authentication is required to sign into research.gov effective on October 27, 2024. So please allow yourself sufficient time to familiarize with this new system. So, Erlung, I'm giving this back to you.
Thank you,
thank
Wenwen.
you.
Thank you very much. So this concludes the presentation part of this webinar. I should again maybe emphasize this need for panelists. So if you didn't get a chance to record this QR code or this link to the panelist survey, we look for your involvement in our panels. There is no better way to understand a program that is complex like CSSI than just serving on one of the upcoming panels. So we appreciate your contributions there. So with that, I'm going to stop on this part, but I should also note that these slides will be made available to you along with the recording, as Edgar had noted in the chat. And in these slides, at the end, you will see a set of these commonly asked questions that might be useful for you to understand some of the details of the program related to eligibility, number of proposals you can be on. I think Wenwen had already touched upon many of these. But please take a look at these as well. These are part of the slides. I'm not going to go through these here, but certainly there's a lot of interesting information here. With that, I'm going to switch to the Q&A part. I'll leave these slides up here so that if you have to refer to this Q&A slides or some other slides of the presentation to answer your questions, we can move to those. So I'm going to stop presenting, but and then sort of start looking at the Q&A box to see if there are any questions that we can start answering. I know many of my colleagues have already answered several of your questions, so thank you very much for your questions, and hopefully these answers are useful. But I'm going to then start looking at these questions, and I'll invite my other colleagues to also jump in if there are any questions that they would like to answer. But let me start from the top on the box that I have, and we can just go down that list to see if we can provide you with some good responses. So the question that I have here is, I already sent a research summary, but did not describe how the project will address solicitation-specific review criteria or the divisions to which the project aligns. Is it advisable to add these details and reach out to CSSI queries again? So I think a concept outline or a white paper is not a requirement. However, it is encouraged so that you can get some feedback from us. If you have already sent something and you've received our feedback, you can now start sort of working on the full proposal, unless you need some additional feedback, and we'll be happy to provide that. We expect that the solicitation specific review criteria and the target division, these are clearly emphasized in the proposal. But if you do want us to look at these again, feel free to send it to us. We'll be happy to respond. The next question, so I'm going to just say that this is done. I think the next one, my colleague Sheikh is answering, so I'm going to move to the next one, which is there a mechanism in your user account on research.gov or grant.gov for different people to have their own account and share a proposal in such a way that they can write to them? If not, then that will actively interfere with us proposing by giving our login and password to our proposal development officers. So this is something that you can look at the PAPG that was listed in one of the slides to get more details about how this is done. Typically, we expect that you work with the sponsored research office in your at your institution for the submission of these proposals. And I believe there are mechanisms that your institution should have so that you can interact with them. So I'll be happy to answer more questions offline. You can send me an email if you have more questions on this. But again, I would strongly encourage you to reach out to your sponsored office and see what is the proper mechanism that your institution has set up. The next question is, what kind of feedback can you give us if we were to submit a short white paper description? So that's a good question. I think what we are looking for is a short description of what you are planning to build, what kind of research question, or which community is this targeted for, and what kind of scientific advances will this enable? We would also appreciate if you could include why this is innovative, in the sense that why are the existing solutions not appropriate for answering for doing what you plan the CI to do. So if you can provide those details within a one page deadline, I think that will be great. One page limit, and we'll be happy to provide feedback on that. There's a question about how four research communities that should be targeted by the project defined by NSF. And I think this, let me go back to slide number four, which this sort of is connected to. Let me just clarify this, and I apologize if this confused some of you, but what we are looking for here is which community is this, will this benefit, right? So we are not, I don't think we listed any four communities here. What I will want, what in this slide, what you see here is that we expect that what you're developing is not just for your research group or not just for your home institution, but for a large research community that NSF serves. So I would encourage you to look at the solicitation where we list the divisional priorities. That should help you understand what are the areas that different divisions are interested in supporting, and that should help you also position your proposal according to those. So let me know if you have follow-up questions on that, but let me move to the next one that is not being answered by someone. So are for-profit companies considered as part of community? So that's again another good question. So we fund CI that benefits a research community. That research community could be part of academic organizations, could be part of nonprofit, or could be part of for profit. I think as long as what they are doing is, part of the science and research enterprise that NSF supports, I think we consider all of them as part of the community. But again, I would emphasize that you should clearly identify who that community is. And the other addition to that would be that in CSSI, as part of the sustainability, we strongly encourage that you engage with the community, and we hope that the community sort of comes together to sustain the CI as well moving forward, beyond the years of funding. So that needs to be taken into account as well. Let me answer. I think Malin is already answering one question. So as of now, I do not see any open questions, but please, we would like to hear more. So keep adding any questions that you might have. So here I see one more. Would building a service that you charge for after the lifetime of the grant be suitable for sustainability? So again, as I said earlier, we do not mandate any one way to do it. So anything that you think is a viable plan, including, a subscription service, anything that thing you can argue would sustain the CI after years of funding, while also benefiting the research community, I think that that is part of the plan, so that should be acceptable. But again, you have to provide clear plans of how it would still be of benefit to the research community. And at this point, I'll also just check with my colleagues if they wanted to add anything that I might have missed while we wait for more questions. Oh, there's a question here. I think I can answer this. This is, to whom do we send the white paper? So that's a great question. I think in the final slide, we had an email address that you can send your white paper to.
CSSI queries.
Thank you, Sylvia. Yeah, that's the one. Right here. So CSSI queries at nsf.gov, you can send it there. Thank you, Maya.
So I'd like to add that this is, when you look at the solicitation, you will see that there are lots of other pieces besides OAC putting money into this. A range of directorates, and within the directorates, a range of programs. That's why it's really important that you tell us what programs you think you're targeting. The reality is we have many more very good proposals, but you need, in many instances, you need partnerships in order to make a successful project.
That's right. Thank you, Sylvia. Let me go to another question that's here. One of the presenters mentioned software infrastructure as a proposal type, and I didn't catch where we should specify this. So this is more in the details. When you go into research.gov or grants.gov, you have to specify which program are you submitting a proposal for, and that would be CSSI. And you specify the solicitation number there. And as a follow-up, on the follow-up page, you will also be asked to enter this NSF unit of consideration. And there, I think the only option that comes up is software institutes. So that's the one you should select. That we will wait for more questions. Please feel free to enter any question that you might have. I'll be happy to answer here.
I want to add, because I just, for another program, have just returned without review several proposals from people who should know better. You should note that the additional supplementary documents that are asked for in this solicitation are required if applicable. So for example, if you don't have a management and coordination plan on a framework document, it is eligible for return without review. If you have mentoring or mentoring plans or development plan or people, eligible people in your budget, if those plans aren't there, that's becomes eligible for return without review. Don't put yourself at risk for something like that. Just make sure the pieces are there. Just go down the list, and if you have it, check it and make sure it's there.
Excellent point. Thank you, Sylvia. Yeah, I think that's very important. Please take a look at the solicitation very carefully. Everything is in there. Make sure that you're providing us with all the documents in the right format and within the right page limit so that, you know, the proposal is not at risk for return without review.
And just to add what Sylvia said, these are CSSI specific documents. And in general, NSF has document requirements, for example, data management plan for certain proposal, BPC plan. So if you go to PAPG, this procedure guide, it mentions what documents are required. So please provide those. And these are specific to CSSI, the slide that you are seeing.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Sheikh, for that clarification. Again, I would, you know, as we wait for more questions that we might have, or actually I see one here. Oh, okay. Let me answer this one. It says, should the proposal description follow the framework of the solicitation? Yes. So I think, in fact, as you see on the slide, we have some you know, sections that we expect that you have, because that helps us you know, map what you're doing to the solicitation specific criteria. At the same time, we also want you to highlight the intellectual merits and the broader impact. So you can use the solicitation to structure your proposal. But the important thing is that the criteria, the review criteria that these things will be you know, measured against, those should be clearly highlighted how your proposal is responsive to those. And while we wait for more questions, I'll again bring up this slide, which is that as you are preparing these and you're identifying the priority areas, I'll again emphasize that it's a good idea to contact us. We will get you in touch with the Cognizant program officers from other divisions that are, you know, connect or aligned with what you're proposing. And it's important to understand how, or to clearly articulate in your proposal how what you're proposing aligns with the divisional priorities that are listed in the solicitation under the programmatic areas of interest. Okay. I don't see any other open questions. Maybe we'll leave this on for a few more minutes so that we can reach to the top of the hour. You know, as you are, you know, considering this solicitation, please take a look at the solicitation very carefully. These slides will be made available to you, so make sure that you're using these to use it. There was a question here. For frameworks proposal, can the budget for a given year be more than 1 million, although the total is still within 5 million? So if you look at the solicitation that clearly outlines what are the expectations, you have to stay within the annual limits as well. So it's 1 million per year. And so if you're proposing a frameworks proposal for 3 years, then the maximum you can ask for is 3 million. And the same holds for the elements and transition to sustainability as well. I'm looking at a question here, and maybe I can just read it out. This might be specific to a discipline, and I'm not sure if some of my geo colleagues are here. But the question is, we are monitoring geophysical phenomena on a daily basis that have impact on other engineering and environmental activities. We are looking forward to building up an online service that can provide an extensive analysis, estimation, and future predictions. So if you're building an infrastructure, which could be a service that will be made available to the scientific community, and if you can justify the need for that, and if you can clarify what kind of scientific advances will this enable, then this should be within scope. But if you want to share a one pager with us on the email address that I noted earlier, we'll be happy to give you more detailed feedback on this. Thank you.
So just to add what Varun just said, there has to be a demonstrated need in research communities which advances science. So there may be a need for, say, journal in a hospital, or Marlon's example, firefighter needs some software and you are developing that. That's not the target. It may be very valuable, but that's not the target of CSSI program. CSSI program is enabling science and engineering research. So the need at the services, whatever you build, has to cater to some scientific community where there is a need that enables the science.
That's right. Thank you, Sheikh. There's a question here for the elements proposals. Does the proposal
an NSF funded need funded research? This is still NSF.
That's right. Thank you, Sylvia. Yeah. So again, I would encourage you to look at the programmatic areas of interest, because as Sylvia said, and what Sheikh mentioned, this has to cater to needs of a scientific domain community that is supported by NSF through our different programs. There's a question here for the elements proposal. Does the proposal need to have a collaborator, or is it possible to be a single PI? So there is no requirement here. It is based on what expertise is needed, and how can the and if you can show that the team has the required expertise. So if all of that is one person, that's also fine. So there are no requirements, but the team should be representative in terms of the type of expertise needed to be successful here. There's a question here, about can you say a bit more about what you mean by we don't fund research, but then how does the project satisfy IM criteria? That's a very good question. That is why I had that extra slide earlier after the intellectual merit part. I'll just reiterate what I said earlier, which is that for the CSSI focus is on development of infrastructure. Okay. If there are algorithms that need to be developed before the infrastructure is developed, if there are certain methods that you need to do research on to figure out what works and what doesn't, those are not within scope for CSSI. In CSSI, we expect that the risk is on the development and the community outreach and the engagement of the community, right? But coming back to the other question that we have about satisfying IM criteria, and this is where we look for the innovativeness in the need, or innovativeness in terms of, is there something like this available to that community right now? So that's the innovativeness we look for. But I see Sylvia's hand is raised. Sylvia, go ahead.
So our overall purpose in intellectual merit is to advance knowledge. And the idea is that the infrastructure resource of some sort that you're either making the original steps for, or have made into a large activity that's going to have input from an expanded community, et cetera. What we're looking for is the ability of what gets made to advance knowledge. That's our measure of the intellectual merit. And you can look at it in lots of different ways. It can be, you know, within a field or across fields, but it doesn't have to be, and it can be transformative even if what it is a resource. All you have to do is think about PDB, without which there would be no Nobel Prizes this year in chemistry.
Thank you, Silvia. That's a great answer. That's exactly what we mean here. And so hopefully that will help you articulate the intellectual merits better without including any research plan. All right, more questions. And we can see that the number of participants is steadily going down. So, which could mean that the question that you had have been answered. But if there are more, I'll again encourage you to reach out to us on the email list, and we'll be happy to provide answers. But I think we can wait for a few more minutes to see if there are any remaining questions. And my colleagues from NSF, if you have anything to add, please feel free to jump in.
Thank you for participating, and feel free to send email to NSF this queries, and you have the name of the contact program officers in the solicitation. So we are here to serve you. So
that's right. Thank you, Sheikh. All right. So I think at this moment we can close the webinar. Thank you again, all of you, for attending and for your questions. I hope this was useful, and we look forward to more questions from you, and look forward to your submissions for this solicitation. And again, the deadline is December 2nd of this year. Thank you. Bye.